Personality, creativity, and zest. All contestants are welcome to march in the parade. Cash prizes will be awarded with $150 going to the winner. Entry is free. Don't miss the St. Patrick's Day family celebration after the parade Saturday the 17th from 1 to 4 at the Hut behind Newport Library. Hosted by the Newport St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee. Sponsors include Savings Institute Bank and Trust, IHOP of Middletown, and the Newport Recreation Department. For information, call 413-9601 or go to NewportIrish.com.
Welcome to a Friday edition of What's Up Newport Radio Edition. Let's see, 39 degrees here in the city of Newport. Looking at breezy with intervals of clouds and sunshine, high of 40 before tonight, clearing of low of 32. Let's get with the weekend forecast because it's a very busy weekend in and around town here. And we got tomorrow breezy with sunshine and patchy clouds, high of 43, which just so happens to be a perfect forecast if you happen to be having a ribbon cutting tomorrow. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 45, low Sunday night of 33. Wonder who could possibly be having a ribbon cutting tomorrow. Oh, that would be our friends at EFC Newport, who is opening EFC North up in the great city town of Portsmouth. And joining us, we haven't done this in a little while, we're doing it on better conditions this time around. Pastor Paul Hoffman, how are you?
I'm well. It's super duper to be here.
It is super duper, and I'm glad we could have you here on a good occasion and a celebration occasion this time around. EFC Newport is going to open up tomorrow.
Yes, a new campus. We're calling it EFC North. It is located at 14 Potomac in Portsmouth, which is off East Main. And so 5 p.m. we're having an open house, so we'll have catered food, music, lots of fun and laughter, and just a time to connect and hang out.
All right. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'm trying to think. The last time I had you on was because of our dear friend who passed away.
Yes.
And
Kevin Robinson, K-Rob.
Yep, K-Rob. And then the time before that, I had you on because of the church shooting down in Texas.
San Antonio, yeah.
So, yeah, so I owed you one.
I know, right? A more positive one.
I just thought of that out.
No more death.
No more death. So we're going to talk all about that today and more here on the program. Lots of great stuff happening over there. I do want to thank everybody that came out last night over to Jane Pickens Theater. Had a fun screening of Fantastic Mr. Fox over there, and good old time. And lots of, you know, the movie came out in 2009, and the crowd was a little bit younger than what we usually get for a What's Up Noob crowd, but it was great to see everybody. Thanks for coming out. And Kathy certainly has a busy weekend over there with TEDx Newport taking place on Saturday. Sold out. But if you go to TEDxNewport.com, you can click on a link and watch it live as it happens over the week on Saturday. Shape of Water, which just won an Oscar, is returning today. And then on Sunday, they will have award winning. He won at 89. He's the oldest Oscar award winner. James Ivory will be there on Sunday. He had already pre-planned this, and he's going to be there. He just won for screen adaptation of Call Me By Your Name. So lots of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, the city by the sea has always got it hopping.
And I have a good one for you there, Pastor Paul. You know, this weekend is also daylight savings time.
Yes. Is this when we lose an hour or gain an hour? I can never tell.
We spring forward.
Ahead, so we lose an hour.
Yes.
Ah.
So the two of us, between the two of us. And one of my dear friends, Pat, had the idea of turning your clocks ahead today at 4 p.m. Not at 2 a.m. on Sunday.
Too preemptive.
So that way you can let the weekend begin early and not lose the week, lose an hour on the other end.
That's good.
Yes.
Pretty sure your iPhone will handle it, though, on its own.
Yeah, it will, but I thought it was pretty good that you turn it ahead at 4 and it's all of a sudden 5. A couple things to get to, and we'll do that in the next couple minutes here before we dive into EFC North, EFC South, if there's going to be such a thing. Earlier today, our friends at Rhode Island Film, and I was trying to get Mr. Feinberg on with us. He might still join us in a little while. But you can look for cameras, crews, and actors and actresses in Newport beginning Monday. In and around Newport, C. Feinberg, executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office, announced this morning that there's another movie coming to Newport to do some filming. It's called Anastasia, an upcoming live-action fantasy adventure based on the legend of Russian Grand Duchess Anastasia Romanova. He said, Anastasia filming in Newport, Rhode Island, the high-concept feature film version stars Emily Carey, who starred in Wonder Woman, Amaya Miller, who starred in War for the Planet of the Apes, and Brandon Routh, who was in Legends of Tomorrow, as well as Superman. And Blake Harris writes and directs about the movie set in 1917. The family film follows Anastasia Romanoff, who escapes through a portal when her family is threatened by Vladimir Lenin and finds herself in the year 1988, befriended by a young American girl, Emily Carey. Wonder Woman stars as the title character, and Maya Miller, War for the Planet of the Apes, plays Megan. Routh will portray Tsar Nicholas, the Tsar of Russia, and the father of Princess Anastasia. Production begins last summer in Lexington, Kentucky, and with the younger portion of the film, so I guess it goes through an entire lifetime. And shooting of the 1917 portion of the film will commence in Newport, starting on Monday. So I would imagine, based on the photos that he shared, that they might be shooting at the mansions, but I have not confirmed that. The original concept for the story hails from Harris and Armando Gutierrez, who are producers of the project, along with Eli Lupnick, Peter Leese, and Brett Jones. And another movie coming to town, and it all gets underway. Filming will start on Monday. Not sure how long they are here and not sure where they're shooting, but if you see camera crews as well as perhaps Brennan Routh or whoever else, that's what they're doing in town. Perhaps is EFC Newport or EFC North or South a scene?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, we're open to that. I don't know if we have... hopefully there's no Russian accents required or Russian dress.
I know there was an Anastasia cartoon way back in the day, but we'll get more details. But pretty exciting. We're going to be in another scene, and it just continues to add to our film history here in Newport. Pastor Paul Hoffman, so EFC North is the old one now called EFC Old or EFC South?
No, we don't. We just call it EFC Newport and North Campus.
Okay.
So Newport is still, I mean, we're on the Middletown-Newport line. Technically, our address is Middletown, but the history of the church goes back, you know, to Newport. We spent most of our history in Newport. So, yeah, we're going to call it EFC North because our goal is to reach into northern Newport County. And so instead of saying, hey, people, you got to drive down to us, you know, we actually have a lot of people in the church that drive past northern Newport County. And so we said, you know what, it'd be great to start something up there.
Will there be a drive-thru?
Definitely not. Definitely not. No, no drive-thru blessings or holy water prayer.
That is happening, though. One of the reporters that used to be on one of the Providence stations, you continue to follow them as they travel around the country, jumping from station to station. And one of them recently went through a drive-through service for something as a story. And Ash Wednesday, they did a drive-through.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll have to look that up and see what that looks like.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's necessary. Somebody had commented a little while ago on What's Up Noob, wondering what EFC stands for.
Yeah, that's a great question. So EFC stands for Evangelical Friends Church. So that's our tradition. Goes back to Quaker history, also known as Friends. And they got that name from a text in the Bible that says that basically Christians are friends of Jesus. So our faith is about having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So when we talk about evangelical friends, it's all about the good news of Jesus, his love for us, which Christian churches are starting to orient themselves toward as we get toward Good Friday at the end of the month. And then Easter this year is on April 1st. So April Fools, God rose from the dead. Surprise. So, right. Yeah. So, it's Evangelical Friends Church, Newport. And then we're starting the North Campus up there. And the goal of the North Campus is actually to create a more intimate, smaller scale, comfortable, warm, welcoming setting. And in particular, we're trying to reach out to people that are maybe would consider themselves spiritual but not religious, maybe people that want to know a little bit more about Jesus, the Bible, or Christianity, but don't come from a formal church background or not currently attending a church. Maybe they did years ago and they've fallen out of that. So we're trying to make it accessible for people. There's no shame. There's no you know, expecting them to know all these things. We just want to welcome them, come in, and, you know, go on a journey together.
All right. We're going to talk more about this as well as the opening ceremony. Make sure that people know that there's free food and everything else tomorrow.
Yep, swiped out.
Yeah, make sure that they take advantage of that. Also, I have a couple questions from our audience today, and they're very difficult questions. Some of them are, is when you were growing up, did you always want to be a pastor? So we're going to get that answer and more when we come back here on What's Up Noop Radio Edition.
Right now, in addition to all their fantastic savings, Bridge Liquors is having a bike giveaway. Come in and register, no purchase necessary. Just drop by and sign up. And anytime you do stop by, check out Bridge Liquor's amazing inventory and their incredible array of specials. Right now, Deep Eddy Vodka and Smirnoff Vodka 175s are only $19.99. Dewar's 175s are just $29.99. Bridge has a great deal on Meiomi Pinot Noir, now $19.99. Look for the 30 packs of Miller Lite and Coors Lite at just $21.99. Many new beers arrive weekly at Bridge Liquor's, like the new beer from the Lochiel Brewing Company in Ireland. And make sure you check out the great values in their 2-4 wine barrels. For all these specials and much more, get into Bridge Liquors, 23 Connell Highway, Newport. Always ready to match any local competitor's pricing. Free delivery at 848-9200. Open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Sundays 10 to 6.
It may not feel like it. It may not look like it. But it does look like spring at Ben's Furniture. Stop by soon and see countless new items that have sprouted up at 166 Thames. New sofas in bright and colorful fabrics. New slip-covered sofas in nautical and cottage prints. New bedroom sets. New dinette sets in sizes sure to fit any space. Ben's has new chairs and recliners. New desks. Even brand new mattress collections starting at just $399 for a queen-size set. Discover new accessories like rugs, pillows, wine racks, and wall prints. About the only thing not new is the longtime Ben's tradition of quality, service, and value. Ben's Furniture, now into their 76th year of serving the Newport County area. Ben's, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 5, Thursday through Saturday 9 to 6, Sundays noon to 5. Browse online anytime at bensfern.com.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Rhode Island Army National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association and this station.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to one, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Blenheim Newport.
Law offices of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg.
Chris Offenberg, Elder Law. Balance at Home. Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding. And Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
When you think of Volvo, you probably think of safety, technology, and style.
Well, we just think about you. I'm Jim Gray, president of the Vitti Automotive Group.
This month at Vitti, you can lease the new 2018 S90 T5 all-wheel drive Momentum for only $349 a month for 39 months.
$5,000 to its signing, 7,500 miles per year, tax, title, and fees extra. See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31.
And with our free service pickup, free delivery, and free loaner vehicles, it's always Vitti and you.
Visit us at Vitti.com today.
Listen online, on your tablet, or on your smartphone at WADK.com.
Hey, you gotta chill out life today. And welcome back. What's up, Noop Radio Edition? Our good pal Justin Pomfret there. His song by the Ocean in the Sands. A little shout out for landing and coming over the bridge. You can catch him this Sunday, actually, over at Midtown Oyster Bar, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. He'll be over there. No cover. Speaking of Midtown Oyster Bar, you can catch all of us over at Midtown next Friday, March 16th. We'll be having a St. Patrick's Day celebration, and What's Up Noop Radio Edition will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4, Pastor Paul. So you're going to have to come down. You're going to have to clear your schedule. It'll be 12 to 4. My co-hosts will be Bob Angel. Timmy Tui will step in. Frank Prosnitz. We'll also have from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. We'll have the men's AOH Irish Singers. We'll have the bagpipes, the AOH Pipes and Drums. We'll have some music from Sean Rivers and a whole lot more. And it's a fun afternoon. Family friendly.
Yes. Sounds like quite the bash.
It is. It will be. And it's taking place. You can listen to us 12 to 4. And then when you get out of work or wherever you may be, you can come on down and join us at Midtown. More details coming on that soon. So the question, Pastor Paul from EFC Newport and EFC North.
You got it.
Was how does one in their lives grow up as a little Paul and want to become a Pastor Paul?
Yeah. Well, the story's different for everybody. Anybody that I know that's been called to be clergy or a pastor, there's different stories for everyone. So mine was a bit different. My family, I grew up outside Portland, Maine, and my mom used to take us to a Christian retreat. Yeah, duck. I see your duck fat.
Sweatshirt
there. That's awesome.
I didn't even do this on purpose today.
Portland, Maine has some amazing restaurants. The old port has an amazing renaissance.
It's one of my new favorite cities.
It wins all these awards, so I don't get back there enough. My sister still lives there. Just got so much going on here in Newport, and we love this city. It's been our home for 11 years now. But I grew up outside Portland. My mom would take us to retreat in Cape Cod. I forget what town. And it was one year, I think it was going into my eighth grade, we spent a week down there at this Christian retreat, and you know, they had, you could paint, and there was different arts and, you know, different kinds of things. And I became befriended by a lady from Boston, true story, Elvira Vieira, this little old Italian lady. She
Holy
was the
cow.
Sweetest thing. And she adopted me almost like a grandchild. So throughout the week, I'd hang out with her, I'd have lunch, because we had breakfast together, lunch and dinner on this big property on the Cape. And then one day, a true story, she pulled me aside and she said, last night I had a vision, not a dream, but a vision. And she said, I saw you preaching behind a pulpit with a cross behind you, and I think God's calling you to be a minister. And I was like, what? You're crazy. Okay, now I'm scared. And, you know.
The last time you talked to her?
Gosh, that might be it, seriously. But she was older on in years. So she told me that, and I was like, cuckoo, cuckoo, you know, and I backed off from that. But then a couple of years later, it was actually during my sophomore year of high school, I started to explore my faith more because I was raised in a Christian family, went to Sunday school and all that. Started to read the Bible for myself, started to actually enjoy like trying to read it, understand it, explain it to other people. And I started talking about it more and identifying more as a Christian in my school. And then people would come up, ask me Bible questions.
Did you go to public school or?
I did, actually.
You did?
Yeah, I ended up starting a Bible study at my public high school in
okay.
Maine. So that was great. I actually had like 10 people every week, and we called it cheesy but true, BITS, Believers in the Sun. And
okay.
And we met every week, study a Bible passage, and just talk, how can we serve the school? Let's pick up trash. How can we be better neighbors and friends in our school? So we did lots of little projects around the school. And I think it was actually my sophomore year of high school was when I was like, you know what? That Elvira Vieira was right on. She wasn't crazy at all.
Wow.
And it was just something that evolved over the course of that year. But initially I was resistant. And so, you know, not everyone has to have a story that dramatic. Some people back into it in a different way. And some people, you know, become career ministers later on. They go to college, they become, you know, an engineer, teacher. And then later on they feel that through lay ministry, through helping out church, they say, I really like this. I feel a call to study this and enter into it full time. So it is different for everyone, I would say.
Now that I've gone this far down the rabbit hole, we might as well continue on. How does one go about becoming a minister after high school?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It depends on different different traditions within Christianity. So, for example, it's a different process for a Catholic priest than for a Protestant one, I would say. But for many Protestants, the general thing is you go to Bible college or, you go to college, you can be a biblical studies major, maybe not. There's a lot of people that major in literature or philosophy or politics. And then the key is going to what's known as seminary, which is graduate studies and theological studies. So it's usually 2 or 3 years, and you get a graduate degree, like a Master of Arts in Pastoral Studies or something to that effect. Many of us got what's called an MDiv, which is a very complicated. It's 33 credit classes.
Wow.
So it's actually equivalent to a doctor of, like, education, the amount of credits and the level of work that you do. And then normally you apply to church, and then you go through a ordination process with a church, like a Baptist church or a Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Pentecostal, or there's a wide range. So in my case, after seminary, Autumn and I, my wife, moved out to Denver, and I went through ordination proceedings in a process with what's known as the Conservative Baptist. So I submitted it was a long paper. You have to explain your call to ministry, your conversion story, your theological beliefs. They give it to 15 different ministers, and then they call basically a meeting and they grill you, having read your paper for 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
Maybe mine was 90 minutes, 2 hours, but they ask you questions based on the paper you submitted, and then at the end they make a recommendation to the denomination that you be ordained. So it is different for everybody. There's different ordination processes and journeys, and then I carry a second ordination with evangelical friends as well. So I'm actually doubly ordained, which is very unusual.
And you just went and got your doctorate.
My PhD at the University of Manchester in England, yeah. So way too much educated, my wife might say. It's made me not wiser.
And I went through all that, and, you know, Bob Angel was asking the question, and I didn't even ask the question, is what did you want to be when you grew up before you decided that you wanted to be a pastor?
That's a great question. I've tried to think about that, and I think maybe a teacher. Both my parents are educators.
And you're pretty darn close to that right now.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, a pastor, that's a lot. You're teaching people about Christian history and Christian practice and answering questions of faith and morality and, you know, even politics and all these kinds of things. So I think it was probably a teacher. If I would think about it, maybe a writer, which thankfully as a pastor, you get to do these things. Currently I'm actually writing a book. I have a book contract I just got with Cascade
Books. No way. Congrats.
Yeah. It's based on my thesis, and it's actually based on ministry here in Newport. So it's going to be very much describing my experience here in Newport.
That means I have to have you on the radio again.
Maybe.
Can we do a book signing? Can I sign you up now? We're going to do an author night.
That would be great. I would love that, because I talk about this place and all of its brokenness and beauty, because like any place, there's, you know, hardships and struggles, but there's also beautiful things happening here. And that's what makes this place complex. Like every place, it has things about it that are broken that need to be fixed and addressed. And there's also things that are beautiful, the people, the environment, and not everything goes wrong in a city. There's many good aspects about it. So I'm going to talk about that journey here and with other pastors that, and we've had rallies, you know, Rally to Unite Against Hatred. We did that last year after Charlottesville.
Right.
I actually opened the book in the middle of, the book starts in the middle of that rally and what was going on. And
I think I have some video if you need it.
That would be great, actually. I'm going to look for archival materials.
I think I did a Facebook Live of one of them, maybe the first one you did over here, and you had a great crowd out there.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was an amazing turnout and such a diversity of people. And so, yeah, I'll be drawing on you, and I'm doing research on that right now about what is a place? What does it mean to have a place and to be in a place? You know, it's more than just brick and mortar. It's the vibe. It's the culture. It's the people. It's experience. People shape places. People shape culture. You're a culture shaper here. Cool. By connecting people and telling us all the exciting things going on in Newport. And so a place isn't just longitude, latitude. It's also the environment, the culture, the spiritual milieu and setting. It's the there's so many elements to it. It's hard to explain. I'm going to break it down into 4 different components to help people think about place in terms of geography and culture and these kinds of things. So Newport is I've grown and matured a lot here, and this has been a place I've really learned to love and invest in.
We are chatting with Pastor Paul Hoffman from EFC Newport. Big day tomorrow as EFC North opens. We'll get the details again from that here in just a minute. You are listening to What's Up Newport Radio Edition. We'll be back after this.
Blenheim Newport, a benchmark community, is having a job fair Wednesday, March 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. Openings for RNs, CNAs, LPNs, and CMTs, as well as dining service positions. Bring your resume for an interview with a department director, 303 Valley Road, Middletown.
can be part of an Irish music tradition. Tune in to the Irish Hour, brought to you by O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home, family-owned and operated for five generations. The Irish Hour, Sunday morning at 8 on 1540 AM and WADK.com.
Thinking about a kitchen remodel? Hate the drab colors, old cabinets, Formica countertops? You know what I mean. My husband and I wanted to move closer to the radio stations, so we purchased a place on the island. The kitchen was what they call builder grade. No frills, no extras, but the space was relatively small, and I couldn't see how in the world we'd be able to change the layout to make the space work better, as well as upgrade the finishes. That was until I visited the design center at Humphreys Building Supply in Tiverton. We worked with the two on-site professionals, Dennis and Janine, and before long, we were finishing each other's sentences. Okay, kidding about that, but Dennis came to the house and began to make design miracles out of the little box that was our kitchen. The space is unbelievably different. He found a way to add a gorgeous wine bar, more storage space, and a peninsula with enough space to prep and eat. The finishes are beautiful. The colors are perfect. We love our new kitchen. Thanks to the team at Humphreys Design Center. Go to buildwiththeh.com to make your remodeling dream a reality.
Humphreys, the home behind.
1540 WADK.
And welcome back to What's Up Noop Radio Edition. Ryan Belmore here on a Friday. Let me tell you about my friends at Whalers. Since 2014, Whalers has been changing the Rhode Island craft beer experience. Their flagship American Pale Ale, Rise, what a great beer name for this segment, was recently voted best pale ale in the country at the World Beer Awards. Look for Rise in your local church, but also in package stores and on tap at over 500 bars and restaurants across Rhode Island and Massachusetts. This crisp, refreshing, dry hop pale ale features bright citrus aromas and subtle hop spice. This weekend, March 11th, which is Sunday, Field of Artisans pop-up market at Whalers Brewing. Shop the wares of local artists and craftsmen as you enjoy a fresh brew. Field of Artisans is a community in Rhode Island for all types of creativity. Emerging artists, photographers, designers, and craftspeople will be on site at Whalers Brewery with a wide array of handcrafted products for sale. For more information on that, visit whalersbrewing.com. Whalers Brewing is located at 1174 Kingstown Road over in South Kingstown, Rhode Island. They're open this weekend, 1 to 10 today, 11:30 to 10 on Saturday and Sunday. Whalers, enjoy good company, drink great beer. Welcome back here to What's Up Noop Radio Edition. Pastor Paul from EFC Newport joins me today. Before we get into EFC North again, I was thinking, so you decide that you want to follow and become a leader in church. What was your parents' first reaction?
My parents have always been very supportive. I mean, there's much worse professions than being a minister, you know. So I think that my parents have always been supportive. I think my mom very much so. I think my dad always thought I'd be, you know, follow the family trade, be an administrator, athletic director, teacher, that kind of a thing. So I think it was a new kind of thing. But he's always been very supportive. And so at the end of the day, you know, you want your kids to be happy. You want them to be healthy. You want them to be productive members of society. And so my parents have always been great about that.
Am I the only one that has ever believed that you did all of this education, took this long journey, just so that way you could put fun quotes on the front of churches?
You may be, but I highly doubt it. No.
Do you guys have billboards out front of your churches?
No, that's actually, we're friends with them, Middletown. I think it's Middletown Baptist always puts a cool quotation out there. When I drive by there, I see it, and I'm like, ah, because we're not in the main road. But believe me, if we had, you know, their signage, we'd definitely be doing that. So props to them for being creative.
It's a creative way in 2018 it's been going on for a couple of years now, but right, to get people to think about your church and to take photos, yep, of that and share it on social media, it's free marketing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the clever. Some of them, Bobby Angel was telling me about some of them that he passes. It's in Middletown. You know, every day is a good day. God says even Monday or something, yeah, like that. Yeah. So it's pretty creative. So I just figured you went all the way through that, just to put quotes up.
Oh, I love it. I laugh too.
EFC North opens tomorrow. Give us the details one more time of when people should head out that way.
Yeah, so 5 p.m., I assume. I would really encourage people to get there early. We believe it's going to be packed. We've already heard a lot of people are excited coming. It's going to be 5 p.m. at 14 Potomac, which is in Portsmouth.
Potomac.
But yeah, that may be one way of saying it. Maybe that's how Native Americans did it. So it'll be 5 p.m. It's an open house. There'll be food catered by Flat Waves. So Flat Waves is awesome. They're going to do a great job. Dessert reception, music, and a chance really just for people to come into the space and see it's warm, welcoming, inviting, friendly, and a chance for people to talk. And we'll, at that point, talk a little bit about EFC Newport for the people who are new, and then the vision of EFC North as a warm, welcoming, inviting community, creating intimate spaces for people to explore Christianity, Jesus, the Bible. And, we really believe in the power and importance of community. So tomorrow is really just giving people the look into the space and a chance to connect and laugh and let people tell stories. I love hearing people's stories.
Let's go a couple different ways here. Let's go with the people that have checked out EFC, the home base. And, so they're already familiar with EFC. What's mm-hmm. different? What's going to be different at this new one? Or why should people come and check it out?
Yeah, so EFC Newport on Sundays is much bigger. It's a bigger space, big sanctuary, seats over 200. The space that we'll be in only at EFC North only seats, 90, 100
okay.
max. And so it's a different vibe. It's not this big sanctuary space. We've created this warm, inviting, it's like a... the coloring, I don't know how to explain it well, but we've got like a palette wall with a backlit cross. We've got, ficus plants and trees
okay.
and that kind of a thing. And just the scale of it creates this different vibe. Also, we're reaching into northern Newport County. So we're instead of telling people,
Tiverton, Little Compton,
you got it, toward the Massachusetts border. You can even cross the border. We have people from New Bedford that are in our church and other places.
So you're making the same business decisions as Twin River here.
not exactly. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I mean you're going for the border here.
Yeah. I mean, we're going for all kinds of people, but in particular, reaching out to people that may not be the traditional church set. We're not trying to take anyone out of any other church. We're really trying to appeal to people that maybe have had a churched past but don't currently belong to a local congregation, but they're still interested in learning about Jesus, the Bible. What we're starting with is really doing a basic like teaching seminar on parenting. And when we talk about parenting, we say it's not only for people that are parents or grandparents, but parenting is leading, and leadership is influence. And we all have influence over people in our lives. And so we tell people, even if you're single, you may one day get married and have kids, that's a possibility. But even if you don't, you probably have a niece, nephew, cousin, a friend that's younger than you, and you have influence in that person's life. And how are you exerting that influence? Is it for good things, bad things? Is it positive? And how can we do that better? How can we influence better? But in particular, there's a lot of parents or would-be parents. And so we're talking about how do we get better at this? Because it's a challenge. I have two sons. I have a preteen right now. He'll be 13 in June.
Oof, and old.
Yeah, it feels like it sometimes. He's going to be taller than me soon too, which
wow.
is like, oh no, this is not good. I better work out more or something. So yeah, seriously, I'm 5'9". My son is 5'7½" or 5'8". So
look at
he'll
that.
Be eclipsing me soon. Yeah, our kids are really tall. I think I got my mom's genes, my grandfather, my Pepe, Bertrand Therrien was 5'7". My dad's side is really tall. My dad's 6'1½". His brothers are 6'4". My wife's father was 6'7". So the kids are huge. You can pray for me just to feed them and clothe them. We, I have mercy. I'm Pastor Paul here, trying to feed and clothe his two sons.
We'll do a radio fundraiser for you next time around when you come in.
Oh, that'd be great.
You mentioned during the commercial break, and I already know this, but some of our listeners don't. But all of the houses of worship here in Newport mm-hmm. County are very close with each other. You mentioned that you got together with seven other leaders in the community recently. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. and I just thought about this while you were talking, is you mentioned, I was kind of thinking people don't have a home when it comes to religion. You're trying to fill a void where mm-hmm. people in that area don't have a home. With everything else and how the world is changing, where it's not like when your grandmother grew up and you go to the same church your entire life, you were mm-hmm. you were baptized there, your funeral was probably there. I imagine with many of the other things that are happening in life and how people just don't stick with one thing. They don't live in the same house their entire life. They don't work at the same job.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be doing the same to churches, and people are kind of hopping around from church to church.
Yeah, I mean, it's good and it's bad, right? So there used to be a sense of history and tradition, which is good. But if tradition's inherited uncritically, like this is just what my family does, so I do that, I think people need to say, well, why do I do that? Just because my family told me I should. And I'm not telling people to be subversive to their families, but I think anything can become inherited, but it doesn't mean you really own it. You have ownership over it, or you've thought it through. Why? And so, our world has become increasingly transitory. And the good thing about the Christian faith, in my humble opinion, is that you can practice it anywhere. You don't have to practice it only at a certain place in Newport. If you move, you know, to somewhere else, you can practice it there. If you travel on vacation, there's churches and houses of worship and other places as well. So in a sense, your faith is with you wherever you go, and there's ways to practice it and to connect with other communities of faith wherever you go. In a sense, it's an unbroken thread, unbroken chain, through time and history and location.
So with all the Christian church opportunities in the area or houses of worship, how do you say you differ yourself, or how do you try to differ yourself with EFC?
Sure, that's great. So, some churches, they just have different ways of practicing. So Catholic churches have a particular liturgy. They have, the priest must be male and so forth and so on, and that's how they do it. Other traditions, I'll give you an example. I'm good friends with Pastor Steve, and, Pastor Steve at Crosspoint, they do things a little different. People are a little more, first off, it's a really wonderful church. It's multiracial, black, white, brown. In fact, on Easter, they're going to open up an Easter afternoon. They're going to have a Hispanic language or Spanish speaking service. We don't have that. So, some people that have more Hispanic ancestry background may feel more comfortable there than they would in other churches around here. They have a more expressive form of worship. People are shouting and dancing.
Okay.
Some white people would not probably do well with that, or some people wouldn't be as comfortable with that kind of effusive, expression of emotion, but some people are. Anytime you go on the TV, watch a Patriots game, I'm thinking those people look a little bit like they'd fit into some churches, dancing, frothing, shouting, cheering. So I found some people
crying.
Yeah, crying. There's been plenty of that over the years, especially the Super Bowl. But I think in our case, EFC North is geared toward people that are a little less, we assume less church background, church knowledge. And there's other churches that I would say have done, would be similar. Ocean Point is like that too.
Ocean Point, I've had them in as well. And it's, how I summarize it is, both of you, much relaxed. It is completely the opposite of everything I thought religion was growing up.
Yeah.
I say it all the time, I'd like to grab a beer with that guy. and it's, it's not like, it's not the church that you, that at least I thought of growing up is, it's just completely different. It's, you're modern, you're hip, you're cool. Yeah. And that's all the compliments I'm going to give you today.
Oh, thanks. You're too kind. You're too kind. My wife wouldn't even say that about me.
Yes.
So.
you're just like the guy next door. And I think, a lot of stuff that's happening at our houses of worship across the island, no matter which way you pick, I've had a lot of them in now. And, it is very interesting to see how, with Ocean Point, they have it on Facebook Live every weekend, and there's a band on stage. Who would ever think there'd be a live band? And you see, dancing and all of these other things. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I was just over in their space at a pastor's meeting on Wednesday morning. So I don't think I'd ever been in there. So I got to hang out with Pastor Jeff and also a friend of mine, Pastor Mike Pike at Portsmouth United Methodist, who's a great guy as well, very down to earth. So, some of it is personality. I mean, some, just like in real life, there's more stiff and formal people. There's more introverted people. There's more extroverted people. For me, I grew up in just a wonderful family that taught me to love people, working class people. My grandfather was an immigrant on my mom's side from Canada. So they come from a French-Canadian background. My dad grew up in the Midwest in Akron, Ohio, come from blue-collar working stock people that just, work hard and invest in the community and raise their family, good German Lutheran people in that area. So I'm thankful to my parents for the values they gave to me, and to just try and connect with people, love them wherever they're at, wherever they're from, wherever they're at, whatever their background. Just, you know, we're all human, and we all, you cut us and we all bleed, and we're called to love one another, encourage one another, and find what's good in one another.
Excellent. Pastor Paul Hoffman joins us. I might as well keep you around for our final segment. That's coming up here right after this.
Feeling lucky? Then head to Newport Grand Casino for the 20K Old Lucky Buck Sweeps. Saturday, March 17th, you could win your share of $20,000 in cash. Five winners every half hour from 2 until 9:30 p.m. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Newport Grand.
When you need plumbing help, and you need it now, call Travers Plumbing and Heating, 849-1505. Call Travers for all your needs, including drain cleaning, frozen pipe repairs, or any unpleasant surprises. Their staff will do whatever's needed so your family is never left in the cold. Travers Plumbing and Heating specializes in new construction, remodeling, heating installations, water heaters, septic pumps, and oil and gas burner service. There's no better protection to have than knowing the right people to call when you need them. Travers Plumbing and Heating, 849-1505. Convenient weekday appointments are available from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That's 849-1505. Travers Plumbing and Heating.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Daryl has hired with Indeed.
Nothing has been this simple, this easy, and this effective.
Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
And welcome back. What's up, Newport Radio Edition? So busy talking that, we're back live on the air. Let me remind you that Newport Restaurant Week wraps up on Sunday. It is Spring Newport Restaurant Week. More than 50 restaurants throughout Bristol, Newport County are serving up Restaurant Week. You want to check it out. It's a good time. $16 three-course lunches, $35 three-course dinners. We have Mr. Pastor. Dr. Pastor Paul Hoffman joining us from EFC Newport today. We've kind of just been jumping around how you got involved with it and the need and reason for EFC North now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned that you just mentioned that you got together with seven. What are the biggest challenges facing you all right now?
So in terms of clergy, obviously there's been in this area, I think there's been actually a great interest in Christianity and church. But in general, in the culture, there's a trend that we've all talked about, the idea of the nuns. There's a growing group of people that will not affiliate, and they like a little bit of this, they like a little bit of that. And we're saying, hey, we think, you're free to believe whatever you want in this country, but we try and say, you know, Christianity has a plausibility structure. Christianity actually explains a lot of what the dynamics we see going on in our world. It explains evil. It explains political infighting. It explains nuclear war. It explains environmental destruction and explains human slavery, all these things. And yet it doesn't leave you with despair. It leaves you with hope, because we're also a hopeful faith, a hopeful religion. So a lot of it is just trying to get people to come back to institutions. Sociologists like Robert Bella, he wrote a book, I think it was Bella, called Bowling Alone. Maybe it was Robert Putnam. Bowling Alone, where they said, you know, since the 50s, there's been a decline generally in civic affiliation or civic, you know, bowling leagues, civic organizations, Kiwanis, and so forth and so on. You fill in the blank. And so, you know, we're encouraging people to say, hey, you know, don't give up on all institutions. We know the governments burn you. And the trends go back to essentially the 60s with the civil rights movement, when we saw things going on with the government or state governments not supporting equality. It goes back to Watergate, where people started to distrust the institutions and the structures around them. And then that blew back on the church. And so people said, I don't really want to affiliate. And so we're still saying, look, you can join, you can, you know, love and serve and just give it a try. You know, come to church, join it, see, you know, maybe let down your guard a little bit. Don't be overly suspicious, or at least give us a try. Give us a chance to be an organization that you'd affiliate with. And a lot of churches are doing so much good ministry, serving the poor, serving the needy. So many things I can't even recount it right now, just in the community of ways that they're serving, communities, populations they're serving and investing in. And so, I always encourage people, Easter is a big time, like come on out and pick a church service somewhere and do a Good Friday service, do an Easter service, and give it a try.
How much of a challenge has it been, you know, obviously, with accusations and I guess, facts that it happened at local schools and movie spotlight coming out and things like that. You know, on all your organizations, when you're trying to market yourself, you're trying to, you know, I know market's a weird thing for a church, but you're trying to encourage people to come and check out your church and participate, you know, and how difficult has that been to try to get people, you know, they're seeing this stuff on the front page of paper and in movie theaters and they're winning Oscars and this is happening. And, you know, just how do you get people to believe that that's not happening at every single religious institution across the United States?
Yeah. First off, my heart goes out to anyone that's ever been abused by a clergy person. It's wrong. It's immoral. They should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. So let me be very, you know, clear on that. But I would tell people, and I think most people have this understanding, there's bad apples everywhere. There's bad apples everywhere, but you can't let one bad apple say the rest of the barrel is bad as well. So a lot of life is just learning to pick yourself up, talk yourself through it, and say there's other good people out there, and I need to give them a fair, you know, shot as well. And we've probably all done that. We've all been on a date, and it didn't go well. And, you know, then you could just write that person off and say, you know, oh, they're boring, they're uninteresting, they're you fill in the blank. But sometimes we find out if we give someone a second and third chance, they're not as bad as they maybe initially appeared. Not everyone's great at making a good first impression, as it were.
Yeah.
So I tell people, give it another try. I mean, you've done this with products. You know, you didn't like the shampoo the first time, but then you saw it was good, or you didn't like the restaurant, you came back, it was great. I tell people all the time, you got to be willing to give second and third try. At our church, along these lines, we tell people that are new, moving to the area, finding churches, or exploring faith, we have a little phrase we call stick six. And we tell people, hey, it's hard finding a new church if you're new to the area, or if you're coming back to faith and you're taking little baby steps there. And we tell people, we don't think you're going to get a sense of who we are just by coming one Sunday. We said, we really encourage you to stick around for 6 weeks, ergo the stick six. And after 6 weeks, we're fairly certain that if you hang around with us enough, you'll get a sense of our mission, vision, values, the culture of the church, what we're about. And then you can make a fair judgment about it. And then if we're not a good fit for you, we'd be glad to help place you in another church in the community. We have great relationships with the churches around us. So I think in life, it's, you know, we want to give unto others what we would hope they would give unto us, which is patience and time and the ability to earn a hearing, as it were.
Overall, obviously, you're opening a new campus tomorrow, so this might be a silly question, but overall, in Newport County, do you see more people coming back to church or more people getting involved for the first time?
Yep, actually, I do. I think that's a trend I've seen, not just Newport County and Rhode Island. There's been a proliferation of new churches cropping up. I've seen this since I've been here in the last 11 years. So there's a trend, not just, you know, in this area, but in, I would say, Rhode Island, New England, across the United States, this whole thing of new churches, new campuses is, you know, generally speaking, the trends indicate that new churches or new campuses are better at reaching new people than existing entities, because any kind of entity can become a closed system where people become, you know, too familiar with each other and they're not as welcoming of outsiders. So actually, this has been great for the church as a whole, because even though we've, you know, tried to make ourselves and we believe we are a welcoming church, it's made us reevaluate so much of what we do, and it's turned us even more outward probably than we were before. So it has a regenerative effect. So I would say it's a trend. I would encourage people, even before Easter, to go out and visit a local church, even if you've been disconnected for a while. Give it a shot. In our case, whether you like church or not, tomorrow night we will have at 5 p.m. this open house, this reception, flat waves, food, just people laughing, connecting, telling stories. And so we invite anyone, whoever, to come on out. Again, we're gearing this whole thing toward people that are non-traditional, you know, not plugged into an existing church, but want to take baby steps back, and they'll be acknowledged, welcomed, embraced. It's a warm, inviting, welcoming, safe environment. So tomorrow is just the open house, the reception, and it's just a relational way of connecting with people.
Of course, bad news catches headlines, gets on TV before the good news. I believe no matter what your opinion is on churches, whether you're going to go to this open house or not, if these churches weren't in our backyard, there'd be humongous whole in our communities. Mm. I was telling you earlier, you know, I walk by churches all the time, walking my dog, and many people don't know that there's a different church, maybe different denominations every single night that are feeding our needy in our community and opening their doors. The community impact, I don't know if you want can call it an economic impact, but the community impact that churches have in our community, whether, you know, when you go to get a hot meal, they're not checking to see if you're Christian or if you're this or that. I mean, so you're also going to be filling a huge void and providing all of these services to the entire community up there.
Yeah, and that's our plan. But there are a lot of good churches. So, for example, what you mentioned was this a collection of churches that put on soup kitchens, and there's a rotation. And every month or every day, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner
you can
is
get
covered.
Newport.
Yeah, in Newport. And you can go to all this. I forget exactly how many churches are participating, but a lot of people would be shocked at how many churches are working together to do this. I was just telling Ryan earlier, Salvation Army, I know Officer James Bang, who's a great guy, and they do it multiple times a month. And what people don't understand is churches pump thousands, I would say millions of dollars, depending on the area, into the community by way of services, clothing, food. We've helped to move people. You know, that costs, if you have to go hire a moving company or whatever, not to, you know, We're not going after the moving business here, but you know what I mean? They provide services that if you added up the total economic value, I think people would be shocked at what they offer by way of gifts, directly money, heating assistance, clothing, food, moving assistance, and many other
the
things.
The civic engagement of just knowing that there's always a door open for anybody in the community. I mean, you can't put a price on that. And I'm to make it clear to our listeners, I do not go to EFC. I do not go to any church. But I just see the impact every single day when I'm walking through our community. And it's remarkable. And, you know, I don't think there can ever be enough credit for what the churches are providing for our community.
Well, that's very kind and gracious of you. And at the end of the day, you know, we do it for God. We don't do it. And for our fellow man. And we know not everybody recognizes, but we know as long as we're doing the right thing with the right attitude, with the right approach, with the right people, people that need it most, then, you know, we can rest well at night.
One more time, 5 p.m. tomorrow, which is Saturday, in case anybody's listening to this podcast later. So tomorrow, March 10th, 5 p.m. One more time, the address, Potomac.
Yeah, 14 Potomac Ave in Portsmouth. For more information, go to efcnewport.com. That's efcnewport.com. Everyone is welcome.
Excellent. I just got a message from my friend Timmy Tui, who co-hosts with me on Thursday. He sounds like a bartender.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, that's what you want. But, yes, we wish you guys the best of luck. And, of course, we'll have you in probably sometime after Easter. And, you know, stop in tomorrow, check it out, see what's a brand new church or campus looks like in 2018. I doubt it looks like what you were baptized in or what you remember going to church in as a kid. So I want to thank EFC Newport again and all of the churches out there for everything they do for our community.
Yeah, and thanks you for having us on, Ryan, and chewing the fat on a wide variety of topics. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Duck fat.
Duck fat, as his shirt says.
As my shirt says. That's going to do it for us today and for us this week. For the latest on what's happening new and to do around town this weekend, visit whatsupnoop.com. Got full live music listings. Best live music listings around, as well as Ken Abrams has on there, best picks around the state for local music, and much more. So that's going to do it for us. Have a good weekend. Stay dry out there, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Listen online 24/7 at WADK.com. This is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
If you've got aches, pains, and soreness, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Dave has to say about Relief Factor.
I was in a sawmill accident and suffered with pain and discomfort for 60 years. I heard about Relief Factor and decided to order it. And in 4 days, I was walking without a limp and without pain. I am thrilled.